You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. This week's message is from our series titled, Red Letters, The Timeless Words of Jesus. For more information and to visit us online, check us out at midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Sam Yang with today's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you guys for being here this morning. I'm glad that you made it. It's a holiday weekend and you're here at church, and so good job to you. If we haven't met before, like they just said, my name is Sam Yang. I am our new associate youth pastor here. And I'm grateful that we are grateful for the opportunity to get to dive into God's Word with all of you this morning. And we're continuing our series called The Red Letters, where we're focusing on the words of Jesus and the meanings behind them. But before we dive in into Jesus' words, I thought it'd be appropriate to just give a little introduction of who I am, a little get to know Sam Yang. And so I thought, since I'm a newer face, something that you need to know is that I just recently got married in March. Huge deal to my incredible wife, Rhea Yang. She is amazing. She is sweet. She is perfect. She is my favorite person in the whole entire world. And this was during the insane blizzard that we have. Does anyone remember that? Like sometime in March where church was closed, you had to watch online or churches were scrambling on figuring out what to do. And it was a blizzard that day. Yeah, we got married that day. We chose that day. We were like in the midst of the chaos, let's get married. And though it was crazy and though there was a lot happening, it was a perfect day. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so that does make me a Packer fan in the house. Let's go. Yeah, this is where I usually figure out who my friends are and figure out who my enemies are. Just kidding. I grew up in Wisconsin, but I live in Minnesota, so I respect the Vikings. I respect them. I respect them. I grew up in a big household. As you can see, I've got six sisters. I'm the only boy. We had our grandma living with us. She did pass, but for a while we had 10 people crammed into a tiny 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. And let me tell you, there was a lot of sharing that had to be done. There's a lot of things that we got close real quick. But it's interesting. It was interesting growing up in a household full of six girls. But I'm grateful and I love every single one of them. And as we dive in, before we dive in, I just want to share one more fact about myself. Like I said, I'm the only boy in the family. And so being the only boy means that I have a couple things to carry, like our family name, my dad's good looks, and his golf legacy. My dad is a great golfer. My dad is a phenomenal golfer and actually is in a tournament right now as we speak. And so every year, the Hmong community, they host this huge Hmong golf tournament where people from all over the country can come and compete and play. So within the Hmong community, he is a legend, and I will rave about him. I will tell the whole world about that until the day I die. But I just recently started to play this game of golf, and I'm telling you, once you hit that one good shot that's just a couple of feet from the hole, or that one good drive that goes straight, and then you hit it, the drive again, and it never goes straight again, like the good shots outweigh the bad shots. It keeps you coming back to the game of golf. And I didn't always enjoy it. I didn't always enjoy the game of golf. I thought of it as super boring. Anybody in here think that game is boring? Don't worry. I see you. The Lord can still change your hearts. This game of golf is incredible. There's more room on the courses for everybody. But I didn't always enjoy that sport. But now it's a complete different story. I will try to do anything to be great at this sport of golf. I'll try to play as much as my wife lets me. I'll try to play and get coached by my dad and anything to be great at the sport of golf. But if I'm going to take time to get good or great at this sport of golf, I want to do everything in my ability to get me there, that will help me become great at this game. And I think this is true, and I believe this is true about our spiritual lives, right? Which raises the harder question, a question of what does greatness look like when it comes to God? What is God looking for in me? What is that question? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Have you ever wondered that question? Maybe it's how often I read my Bible. Maybe it's how often I pray that considers to be my greatest spiritual quality characteristic. Maybe it's how nice I treat people. Maybe it's how often I go to church, how I continue to make church my priority. And while all of those are great and are good, the answer is actually found in the red letters of Jesus' teaching, found in the New Testament that we're about to dive in. And so whether you've been following Jesus your whole life or for 1 week, the answer is found in his teaching, in his words. And so we're going to dive in into what Jesus uses to measure this spiritual greatness, this spiritual characteristic that impresses him above any other spiritual qualities. And if you're new here, you've been coming here for a while, you're in good company, and maybe you've been asking and wrestling with that question. You're in great company because the disciples in our passage today actually pose that same question. So would you turn your attention with me to Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. And in this passage, Jesus is gathered with his disciples, and he paints this unexpected picture of what spiritual greatness looks like that I think we can be aware of, that I think we can learn from. So let's read Matthew together. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. It says, "At the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" You know, the disciples at the time aren't unlike you and me, right? Always trying to impress, always trying to get ahead, always trying to outdo each other. I mean, they were shooting for the same greatness that I think we should strive to shoot for. And I can only imagine what their response was. They're waiting on the edge of their seats. They're like, okay, what's going to happen? What is he going to say? Is it John the Baptist? Is it one of the prophets? Is it one of the spiritual heroes that we read about in the Old Testament? I mean, who was it? What Jesus answers actually surprises each of them. Here's how he responds. Verse 2, it says, "He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.'" Okay, and before we continue, I want us and I need us to know how big of a deal that this was. Okay, because in that day and age, children had insignificant social status. And so when Jesus calls a child to the group, to them, I mean, I can only imagine what everybody was thinking. I mean, imagine this with me. You're sitting, you're gathered here with Jesus. One of the disciples posed a question, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus calls this child and was like, "This child right here is the answer." We actually see this again in chapter 19, a chapter later, it reads this: "Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.'" And so in this specific passage, the disciples actually figured that these children that were coming in were interrupting, right? They were distracting more than helping Jesus when it came to him teaching. But Jesus, as you can see, as we read, Jesus actually invites them. Jesus invites them in and then claims that the kingdom of heaven belong to them. And if I were one of the disciples, let's be real, I would have been distraught, right? I would have been disappointed. I would have been mad, a little bit jealous because, hey, Jesus, I've been following you for a very long time. Hey, Jesus, I've seen you. I've witnessed miracles. You are the savior of the world. I mean, you personally have called me to be your disciple. I would think I'm the greatest, or at least one of the disciples is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we were close, like we're walking side by side. And then he proceeds to tell them that actually these children are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so this kind of raises the question, right? Oh, okay, if kids are the greatest, okay, if children will inherit the kingdom of heaven, then what is the age cutoff? What chances does anyone have once they're not a child anymore? Right? What do these children possess? What makes them so great? What makes them have the ability to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Well, great question, and here's what you need to know. Is that it actually doesn't have anything to do with age, but more of their heart posture. You see, if we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we need to first learn to inherit childlike humility, to turn away from our own power and self-seeking ways. Because greatness in the kingdom of heaven is based upon our openness and dependence on God. And like children who literally depend on their parents for pretty much everything in life, God's children, us as Christians, as God's children, we should learn and depend on him in all situations and every season with an openness and a dependence for him to lead our lives. I've gotten to experience this actually as firsthand as an uncle, and I love being an uncle, okay? I'm an uncle on my side of the family. I'm also an uncle on my wife's side of the family. And I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest privileges ever. I can spoil them all I want. I get to hang out with them all I want. We get to eat whatever we want. We get to laugh. We get to eat tons of sugar. And the parents get to be the ones to discipline them, which makes uncle look really, really good. But what I've seen and what I've noticed and what I've learned and observed is that my nephews and nieces, they demonstrate this openness and dependence that we need in our walk with God and our relationship with him. When I take care of them, there are moments where I need to give correction, and there are moments where I need to give guidance, and they need to have this receptiveness to them, because our guidance as adults protects them, right? It provides security. It provides this trust, and as well as lessons in life and how to live life. Another personal example, I mentioned earlier that I love this sport of golf and I want to be great at it, right? Well, in order to be great at it, I need to be willing and open and have this receptiveness to my dad whenever he's teaching me, whenever he tells me to adjust my swing or not to flip my wrist or gives me any tips to become better. I need to have the same openness, the same receptiveness to his guidance, the guidance that he gives me. And in the same way, our Heavenly Father gives us guidance and correction, and we need to be open and receptive to what he says. And so when we demonstrate the openness of a child, when we begin to receive and know and have receptiveness to what he is telling us, then I believe that we get to experience the greatness that Jesus is talking about. Scripture tells us, like children, we need to be dependent on the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Because when children lean on their own understanding, that things go wrong, right? Right? They eat things they aren't supposed to eat. They touch things they aren't supposed to touch. They get into situations that might harm them, and they don't always know what's best for them. And I believe in the same way, we need to trust and we need to lean on the Lord, because he knows what's best for us, and he knows what we need in our lives. So the question is, where in your life do you feel that you need to develop this openness, this dependence on the Lord? What challenges are you facing? Maybe you're in a season right now. What does that look like? To require this kind of dependenceness, dependence and receptiveness on God. Okay, so we looked at the passage We read all the things. Okay, it's because of the childlike humility, dependence, openness, receptiveness that children have. How do we become great in the kingdom of heaven? How do we become great? How can we become like children, open to guidance and correction and living a dependent life on the Lord? Let's actually go back to verse 3 of Matthew 18, and it reads this. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I want to point out two words that Jesus says that really nails this whole idea, change and become, right? He says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so in order to change and become, I think we first need to recognize our need to change. Recognize that we're imperfect. Recognize that we need a savior. Recognize and humbling ourselves like a child. And it all starts with the humility to admit that maybe you've been traveling the wrong way. Maybe it's time to come back. Isn't it funny how when we get older, the more self-sufficient that we become, right? And we become more and more and more closed off to the idea of and the realization that we don't need help anymore. Like that, we become more and more closed off to that. You see, what the world teaches us is that greatness is found in status, it's found in money, material things, the things that you have, but what we just learned is that Jesus isn't looking for the world's definition of greatness, but the greatness that is found in the heart posture of a child. So I believe that's the first step, and the next step is to actively be practicing and developing dependence and openness and receptiveness to God. God wants us to be open with him. God wants us to recognize that we need him, that we can't do life without him, that we will never be able to survive without him. And so how can we be practicing these things? Maybe for you, it looks like when you're faced with a hard decision, a tough decision, it might look like seeking wise counsel. It might look like fasting. It might look like praying. I mean, when was the last time you got down on your knees and you cried out for God? You were asking for God help, asking for his guidance, asking him to lead you. And maybe you're struggling in your relationship with your spouse. Maybe you need to be open to where God might be convicting you in, right? Maybe where the areas that you need to grow in, that you need to sacrifice in. Because I believe when we seek after the Lord full-heartedly, and we obey what he says, that is when we start to live a life fully dependent on God. And it's not just, here, God, I live my, like, take it. I trust you. Take it all. No, it's, God, my life depends on you. My whole life is in your hand. You get to decide and determine. My whole life is in your hand. That's the dependence that I think we need to have when it comes to him. It's our job to trust him, right? As if you call yourself a Christian and you've been following your Lord your whole life, it's our job, and we were created to be dependent on him, to let him work, to let him show up. And I know a lot of times in my life, I can be quick to pray that prayer, but then quickly, immediately take control again and start to doubt, start to worry. But what I know to be true is that he will never lead me astray. Why? Because he is a good father. He knows what we need because he loves me. He has plans that will prosper me, give me hope and a future, and he does all of these things for me. How could I not live my life fully dependent on him? I mean, could you imagine a life fully dependent on God? Could you imagine gaining and having and owning and wanting the qualities that Jesus is highlighting in these verses? The dependency, the receptiveness, the openness, the humility to first know that you need to change and allow him to move and bring purpose in your life. I think when we understand the heart posture that children demonstrate, I think it gives us the roadmap to what Jesus is ultimately looking for in us. Imagine if everyone in this room were to change and become. If we were open and dependent on our Heavenly Father, we would experience blessings in our marriages, in our careers, in our relationships, and we would all be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. And I want us to know that Jesus was talking to the disciples when he did this. The disciples, the very people that were with him through a lot of life, witnessing miracles, like I just said, I mean, Jesus said to those disciples, change and become. And those disciples, I would say, had the most faith. They witnessed, they saw they had the most faith, but Jesus still told them that they need to change and become. So wherever you are in your walk with God, I believe it's not too late to change and become. Whether you've been following God your whole life or for 1 week, it's not too late to change and become like the disciples. Lord, thank you for this morning, God. God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the ways that you forgive us. Thank you for the ways that you've encouraged us to change and become, God, and that it's not too late, Lord, that we can live a life fully dependent on you, Jesus. God, and so that's my prayer as we leave these doors, Lord, that we wouldn't just be dependent on you here, God, but we would be dependent on you outside. Lord, and so thank you for a time of worship and a time to process that, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person, at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Midcurrent is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin.